In this episode, you're going to learn how comedian Jim Brewer is killing it for Major League Baseball with video marketing, how a sheriff is using Facebook Live, the latest on YouTube TV's rollout, plus your actionable business takeaways.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey-o! All right. Well, I'm back in the office after being in Los Angeles working and doing speeches and talking to business owners about how they speed up their sales process. I'm going to get to that in a moment. I was talking with a Major League Baseball front office executive this week about Jim Brewer. Is anybody out there watching comedian Jim Brewer and what he's doing on Facebook each day for the New York Mets? It is video marketing gold. I'm going to put a sample of one of his videos up on the show notes page. I'll explain that in a moment. But I think what he's doing, and I started watching him last year, like early in the season. I'm not a Mets fan. I have a hard time watching baseball. It's boring. But each and every day, Jim Brewer does a handheld video where he's giving you his take, like only a spontaneous improv comedian. By the way, Jim Brewer used to be a longtime writer on Saturday Night Live. The guy is hilarious. And his daily takes on the New York Mets are just epic gold. So I said to my friend with the front office, I almost said the name. That's why I paused and I don't want to out my friend. But we were talking about Jim Brewer and he said, I wish we had someone this talented and passionate talking about our team on social media each and every day. From a marketing perspective, doesn't matter if your brand evangelist is talking about baseball or any other topic. It's all about passion and the connection that they make to your target customer. You know, I have a friend I've been advising on how to leverage Facebook Live to maximize awareness for her skills. And out of the blue, like she just told me, she goes, you won't even believe this. After doing Facebook Live regularly for a couple weeks, the local mall hired her to be their brand ambassador, right? They hired her to come out on location and to do Facebook Live and talk about different events that are happening at the mall. Like, what a cool gig for somebody who loves fashion, right? And has a gift to gab and has the passion. You don't have to worry about who's going to hire you when you start doing it. Just start doing something extraordinary and the market of opportunities are going to find you. For example, you may already know that I'm a professional speaker. I mentioned that a moment ago. I got hired to speak around the country on digital marketing topics like how to use technology to speed up your sales process and close deals at faster rates, or where Google's going and how to position your business for long-term growth following in Google's wake, right? And last week when I was in Hollywood speaking at the American Gem Society, which is really a fancy way of saying the National Society of Jewelry Stores in America, and instead of keeping my speech all locked up until the next time somebody hires me, I felt like it would be best to share it with my friends and followers. So earlier today, right before we did this episode, I did a Facebook Live event on my speech. I also recorded that speech in 4K. And may or may not publish it. You know, the most important thing here is if you're great at something, let the world benefit from it, right? And the market of opportunities will find you and it'll be a win-win. Make sure you go to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/78 to see crazy Jim Brewer whooping up Mets fans into a frenzy each and every day. It is absolutely great stuff. Other speakers that were with me in Los Angeles that were speaking at this conference include Sugar Ray Leonard, the 5-time boxing champion, and Jay Leno. And I happened to be in the lobby. I was working on my speech and just tightening it up before I went on stage. And Leno walked by me with security guards, and then they walked him out to a car. And I actually pictured that they were Leno's security guards, and they were all going to get into the car. You know, I've seen a lot of political dignitaries, and I know what kind of manpower they roll with. Just a bunch of badasses, right? But Leno actually walked into a car so small by himself, there was no place for security, that the valets actually parked this little tiny car between two planters in the driveway. Now, if you want to see the photo that I took of Jay Leno's car seconds after he got into it, you'll see one of the security guys standing there. The guy's bigger than the whole car. Wirebuzz.com/78 also put some photos of Sugar Ray Leonard up on stage, a true American badass. For the last couple of years, I've been using the stat that people spend twice as long on a web page with a video than text, right? Until I read what Tubular Insights news story was yesterday, where Facebook this week announced people were watching video content on Facebook and Instagram 5 times longer than they do with static content. Hey, let's take a moment, talk about static content. Static content might be obvious, but if not, let me just break it down. It's like text. It's like images, right? A meme would be static content. All right, so what does this mean, like brass tacks for you and your business? Once people get on Facebook and Instagram, or even on your own website, their preferred content type doesn't all of a sudden change, right? When they get on Facebook or Instagram, people prefer watching video. So your business takeaway here is, if you're trying to communicate any business message with text, people's attention span is going to be very, very limited. But if you can engage your customer 5 times longer, you have significantly better chance of convincing and converting them. That is the whole goal. That's what we're all trying to do. Maybe that's the topic that this podcast spends the most on. Now, the reason people prefer to watch video is reading's hard. We process information faster in a video. We're more likely to share it, which is vital because nobody makes buying decisions on their own. And when people look at a product or service video, they're 144% more likely to buy. Video is like the legit heavyweight champion of online content. It has superpowers, and businesses that adopt videos close deals at faster rates. And maybe the coolest thing is, as a listener to this podcast, you already know it and you get it. KABC Los Angeles, which is really Channel 7, probably my childhood channel, reported that a suspect recorded on Facebook Live as he fired shots at deputies during an intense standoff in Covina on Sunday. And when deputies arrived at the scene, authorities said that the suspect fired several shots at deputies, striking the patrol car. The suspect appeared to record a Facebook Live video as he fired at deputies. Video showed the suspect running, loading the gun, and firing shots. Video is so powerful, if you're going to commit a crime using Facebook Live, you're like 3.5 times more likely to get caught. I just made that stat up. But it seems low, doesn't it? It's tied to your name. You have a photo. The last thing you want to do is make it really easy for people to figure out who it was. I recommend don't commit a crime. But because Facebook Live is such a powerful tool, if you're going to commit a crime, don't use Facebook Live. Our friends at TechCrunch are reporting, while most people still aren't sure what to broadcast when they go live, and some have misused the format for unsavory or criminal purposes, Facebook says 1/5, check this, 1/5 of the videos shared on its network are now live videos. Facebook has also seen the live broadcasting daily watch time grow 4x, 4 times in the last year, according to Facebook's head of video, Fidje Somo. And I reached out to Fidje yesterday to interview her about this topic. And when I do talk with her, I'm going to bring that information right back here to you so you can benefit. Oh, this is interesting. Isn't it interesting when you see how government is leveraging social media to engage with citizens? And now we've got a president that's using Twitter as a Twitter super user, and now this. In a video posted Friday to the agency's Facebook page, Lake County Sheriff Peyton Grinnell told dealers his undercover agents have already bought heroin from them, adding the officials are simply waiting for arrest warrants to be finalized. Flanked by 4 agents wearing black hoods and masks, the sheriff told dealers to enjoy looking over your shoulder and constantly wondering if today is the day that we will come for you. This story is out of Orlando, and it's really interesting because, man, if a sheriff's using it to get the word out that they're doing undercover video of heroin dealers, that's a really powerful way of getting the message out, right? And I haven't heard of a sheriff doing this yet, but the quicker that establishment or government or businesses start using a tool like Facebook Live, the easier it is for them to go direct to their audience. When you go to the media, it's like going off to see the wizard. There's really not a lot behind that curtain. And if you go to see the established media, your information may or may not get on the screen. Hey, also in TechCrunch, according to new data from ComScore, released this morning, more than half, 53% of Wi-Fi households in the U.S. are now using at least one over-the-top streaming service, with Netflix being the primary choice. Now, check this. Well, still the leader in the streaming space with a presence of, and maybe I should let you guess, what percentage of U.S. homes have Netflix? Christo, I'll let you be the guinea pig. Call it out, dude. What percentage of U.S. homes have... Yes, guess.
I would say a majority. So I feel like 60.
60% is Christo's answer, okay? What is yours? Tweet me right now before I tell you the answer. No, I'm just kidding. All right. 75% of homes in the U.S. use Netflix. Its service is facing increased competition from others, including... notably, YouTube, which I'm going to tell you more about in a few moments, which has grown its reach to 53%, trailed by Amazon at 33% and Hulu at 17%. So why is this topic important? Well, you know the saying, the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer? Well, 10 years ago, roll the clock back. Think about this. Blockbuster owned an entire movie rental market. They were not only the big dogs, but they had it controlled. And not only did each and every one of us have an account, and Blockbuster had access to all of our personal data, which is also really, really valuable. But Blockbuster also owned physical property. It was the perfect example of a recession-proof business, and they were owning their industry, right? Back when Netflix was founded by Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph in August of 1997 in Scotts Valley, California, the business was different than what it is today, right? My first recollection is Netflix was mailing DVDs. Do you remember receiving a DVD in the mail? It was groundbreaking, right? And you didn't have to pay for late fees. Earth-shattering. Inside my wallet on any given day, if you ever stop me, challenge me on this, I still carry my Blockbuster card. Why? Well, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I use Netflix and Blockbuster as an entrepreneurial reminder of how fast business niches change. Blockbuster should be in 75% of the homes in America, not Netflix. And like the rabbit and the hare's children's stories, Blockbuster had an enormous head start. They owned the entire industry. And still, they missed adjusting for the biggest transition the movie rental business will ever see, which is streaming downloads. You know the saying, the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer, right? That sure didn't happen with Blockbuster. You know, when I was a kid... I used to have this friend of the family who used to talk like that. When I was a kid, Kodak owned a vast majority of the photography business, and they also missed the transition from physical to digital. Uber wasn't created by the largest cab service. Marriott, Hyatt, and Starwood, they didn't create Airbnb. All of those are examples of rich, fat, captains of industry getting fatter and lazier and missing tectonic shifts in their industry. And the disruptors, the new kids on the block, not the band, but the innovators, the Netflix, the Ubers, the Airbnbs of the world are perfect examples of the poor getting innovative, out hustling the rich and taking over. So as a constant reminder of how quickly industry changes, the reasons you need to remain nimble and open to thinking out of the box. I carry my Blockbuster card every single place I go. Your business should never get too big to fail, and the next big transition is always right in front of you. Keep your eyes open and buckle up. Change is the only thing that's constant, and I want to make sure you prepare yourself for that. In more Netflix news, Memeburn is reporting Netflix seems to be loving clue-riddled trailers, and no one's really complaining. In the latest teaser for the upcoming Marvel's The Defender series, viewers are allowed their first look at Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist together working as a team. And this isn't all Netflix has gifted us. In the teaser, the gang waited in the elevator before Jessica Jones realizes that closed captioning television, that a camera inside of the elevator is actually watching them, and she immediately destroys it. But hidden in a seemingly innocuous trailer are two clues about the new series. The first is the release date. You know, when the camera turns static, the timestamp halts the date of August 18th, 2017. That's right. The Defenders are coming to your devices on the 18th of August, right? The second clue is an IP address in the top left corner. And if you type in that IP address in your browser, you're going to be sent off to the newyorkbulletin.com. This fictional news site displays multiple stories that could give you hints of what's coming in the next Defenders movie. Super cool use of dropping hints for your loyal audience and giving them more information. I'm a big fan when I'm reading fiction if they incorporate new elements or digital into that story. So if there's a fictitious character and they drop their URL and you go and look, you can find that person's information or about their fictitious business. And it's a really cool way to move your audience through from the fake fictitious world into something that is digital and feels more tangible. Super cool. Great story. I've got it available for you. It's going to be on the show notes page for this episode 78. Now, Forbes had an article about Google's latest attempt to invade the living room, and that attempt is called YouTube TV. After being announced a few weeks ago, the service is now live in the U.S. However, it's only available in 5 markets so far. Let me count them off. Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. I call these primary cities, right? I live in a secondary city, which is like Phoenix. And there are third-tier cities, which might be like, oh, who knows, San Antonio, right? And if you don't live in one of those areas, you can still gain access to the service, provided you don't mind some legwork. Now, before you get started, you need to be aware that YouTube TV is a paid TV streaming service. You still have to pay $35 a month fee for access to about 40 channels. YouTube is taking measures to help ensure its user-generated content doesn't end up posting ads by big brands next to questionable content. This is out of TechCrunch. TechCrunch is quoting the Wall Street Journal. Everybody's quoting everybody in this one. And the social network will not allow ads on channels that have fewer than 10,000 views total. Now, across all their posted videos, 10,000 total views. YouTube told the Wall Street Journal that the measure has been in development since November and that it's intended to block channels which steal content from other sources from deriving revenue from the platform. Interesting story on TechCrunch you'll find on the show notes page. Twitter is adding more companies to its roster of third-party measurement partners to help brands better verify audience segments and video viewability. Today, the company announced its new partnership with Moat and Integral Ad Science and will soon expand its existing partnerships with Nielsen and Comscore, potentially giving the social media platform more credibility as it continues to compete with YouTube and Facebook for ad dollars in the digital video space. Ultimately, what's happening is battle lines are being drawn. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, they're all competing for television dollars, which television dollars are running for the door quickly because audiences aren't there. Hey, to give you a little backstory, I forgot to tape, well, I don't know if you know, not even tape, DVR, right? I forgot to DVR, oh boy, I'm about to lose my cool guy street cred when I drop this. I forgot to DVR for my wife and I. This is where I'm buying a little bit of plausible deniability. The Voice, right? My wife and I, oh yeah, I just lost street cred. It's fine. You can judge me. I'm judging me. And we had to go and pull it on the on-demand, right? Now, 5 years ago, you couldn't go to on demand, but it's virtually like pulling teeth for me to have to sit there and watch six commercials until the show comes back on. I'm not allergic to commercials. I just have ADD. So making me sit there makes me not want to watch on-demand viewing at all. You would think, you know, one way or another, somebody's got to solve that problem because it's driving me friggin' nuts. And there's always Hulu Plus, but I'm a little too cheap to get in, so now I'm stuck watching commercials. Sucks to be me. And this reminds me of a question that I was asked last week while speaking at the American Gem Society's conclave in Los Angeles. You know, one guy, he raised his hand and asked, Todd, I don't understand why you're using television and video separately. Isn't TV video? And it's not that it stumped me, but you never know where your audience is, right? You never know what somebody's level of understanding is. And yes, video is TV, but I also look at it like, video is a separate thing that lives online that people use to interact either on YouTube as a starter, right? Like a starter drug for video marketers. You get started on YouTube, you tap into their audience, you start using things and trying around on maybe a more powerful platform. Eventually you get into maybe ads on YouTube or using an embed code on your website from YouTube. And then you start to look at the user experience and optimize it. Smart marketers evolve. And then you start using a video player from a third party like Wistia, which we talk about often. And then before you know it, you're using Facebook and Facebook ads and you're trying to pull people back to a site. So naturally, it all starts with video. But what I'm really interested in is how do we use video to close deals at faster rates? And more often than not, that lives on a company's website, right? Or they're targeting people off of a social network and bringing them into the buyer's journey on the website. And that's where this road is headed. Adweek reported yesterday, Facebook announced a host of updates to its video metrics in-page insights. Now, the social network said in a Facebook media blog post that it made the following changes based on feedbacks from our publishers online and our partners. It said that they're adding aggregative minutes viewed, simplifying aggregate video views, making it easier to analyze metrics across a date range, thank you, enabling comparison between current video metrics and historical benchmarks. It's like testing this over that, and making it possible to sort top videos by minutes viewed or by total views. I can't tell you how many times poor Christina in our office has had to add up views on something by hand, like on breastcanceranswers.com across our 1,400 videos and updating from one time to the next, or something specific like time watched. And anytime you see a company like Facebook providing new tools so marketers could do a better job educating or even doing a better job reporting back to their customer or their client and getting better insights. When you see Facebook rolling it out, what you're really seeing is Facebook making a commitment to being a more valuable platform for marketers, and that's a really healthy, good sign. Hey, here's an interesting story out of complex.com. Not wanting to be left out of the trendy use of online video to record and then promote your own criminal activity, Cincinnati Reds pitching prospect Ian Cahola, the 2015 fifth round selection, appears to have recorded himself snorting what appears to be cocaine. The video, which looks like it's from Cahola's Snapchat account, was uploaded onto Twitter. Your actionable business takeaway, the obvious one, is just say no to drugs. If you're trying to gain influence and credibility, keep yourself moving in the right direction. I think idle hands is the devil's workshop. Do yourself a big favor. Stay very, very busy. Don't fall to temptation. And when it comes to your business or your brand, always put your best foot forward. All right, before we say bye for now, I want to ask you specifically, do you have a Netflix account? And if you have a Netflix account, what is your jam? What do you download more than everything else? What do you binge watch? Hey, you want to know what mine is? House of Cards. I am a Francis Underwood fan. That guy is a total demonic freak. And he is like so interesting, his chess moves that he's doing, that I just am fascinated by it. So do me a favor, tweet to me, let me know. I'm at the Todd Hartley. Let me know what is your Netflix jam. And if you watch something else other than Netflix, what is it that you binge watch that turns you into a crazy person sitting on your couch yelling, "One more!" I turned my in-laws on to Netflix. They're one of the people that tap into my account. My wife was staying there when my stepmom was recovering and from a health issue. And so I set up the Netflix account, and then I showed them episode one of House of Cards. And my in-laws go to bed early, and my wife and I at about 11 were like, "We got to go to bed. This is crazy." And you could hear my mother-in-law at like 1 a.m. in the basement where their TV is going, "One more!" Like she was all excited. And then you'd hear the song start up. And then the next day I was like, "How late did you guys stay up?" And she was like, "We stayed up till the sun came up." And they just probably watched like 3/4 of season one. So what is your jam? At the Todd Hartley, hit me up. I'd love to hear it. And an easy way to get access to the news from this week. Also, my photo of Sugar Ray Leonard and Jay Leno getting into his stupid car. Both Sugar Ray and Jay Leno didn't get in that car. Only one dude could fit in that car. Go to wirebuzz.com/78. Now, you ask, what's an easy way to remember 78? Well, in 1978, the CBS soap opera Dallas launched. U.S. President Jimmy Carter signed a bill into a law which allows, thank you, home brewing a beer in the U.S. The total number of gifts in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, if you add up all 12 of them and the number of times that they're said, is 78. For more information, just go to wirebuzz.com/78. Hey, if this episode was valuable to you, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Share this information with a friend that you root for. And if there's information and news that you think's valuable that you'd like us to tee off on, or even you want to have a take that's shared on the next episode of Video Marketing Mastery, by all means, hit me up, wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P. And I will look forward to continuing to curate information, circulate it internally with my team, and bring the best and smartest information on video marketing back to you so you can be the rock star in your own office.